thank you, Father, God. that you have been saying to us, Father. We love you, we honor you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. So that's our goal today, is just to paint the picture. Is to make sure that we understand what he has set forth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we want to just kind of follow along here. And as you see your name come up with some intercessors. And let's take this picture. Amen. 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 Melissa. Wherever you want to, wherever you feel comfortable.
Matthew 6 opens with giving an understanding of what God is looking for in prayer. In 1 Samuel 16 and 7, the Lord tells Samuel to not look at Saul's appearance or his stature because he has rejected him. God does not see as man sees. He sees. He looks at the heart. In Jeremiah 33:3, God tells us to call on him and he will show us great and mighty things. God gives us an invitation to come before the throne of grace to commune with him. But he's not looking at our outward appearance or our eloquent speech. He's looking at our heart. When we come before God, we ought to come before him with a childlike dependency, being humble and genuine, confident that God already knows what we have need of and will answer our prayers. God is looking to draw near to those who have broken spirits and contrite hearts. He is ready to hear and help those who are burdened and oppressed with trouble. The heart is the place where the soul, the mind, the will, and the intellect meet. It is the place of conversion. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whenever our heart becomes stirred, it opens our heart for seed to be planted. That's why when we pray, we ask God to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Our heart is deceitful and beyond cure, and no man knows the heart but God. God is looking for a heart that is broken through captivity, a heart that has been betrayed, a heart that has suffered loss. God is looking for a heart that he can search through the wicked places and lead to a place of understanding. He's looking for a heart that he can hide his word in and keep away from sin. God is looking for a heart that is fixed on him, a heart that is steadfast and immovable, a heart that is always abounding in him. We need a circumcision of the heart. God has given us throughout the Bible so many invitations to come and commune with him. If we, the people of God, would just humble ourselves and pray and have a desire to be in the presence of God with a repentant heart, he would open up heaven, forgive our sins, and restore our land to health, and restore back to us the years that the devourer has stolen. But we got to get our hearts right. The battle that goes on in our minds stems from our heart condition. If we can get our hearts right, we can get our head right.
Amen.
So we need a new heart, a heart of flesh that can be molded and crafted and designed after the heart of God, that when we pray the heart of God.
Amen. Is that your heart? Can this particular statement reflect your heart? He said you need a repentant heart, a cleansed heart. Is that our heart? Can we move forward and say, this is what he has done to my heart? This is what he's doing to my heart? He's cleansing my heart. That beginning of this paragraph, this scripture, is teaching us that he wants how to approach God. So he's cleansing our heart. So Melissa has laid out the summary of the heart that God is looking for to approach him. Amen? So can that be our heart? If it's not your heart right now, he says that you can work on that.
Yeah.
It's something that we can do day by day, because his mercy is when? It's every day. It's every morning. He says new mercies I see every day. So we're going to go on with the next person on.
The scripture that I have is Matthew 6:8 in the New King James Version. Says, "For the your Father knows what you have need of before you ask." Like Melissa just said about the child-like dependence on God. He is the Father. We are the children. And as we would pray that our Father would know in response to what we need before we even ask. And I alluded that to be when I, with my 18-month-old children at work, they don't have very many words. They know certain words like bubbles, because I taught them that. They know words like thank you. They know their each other's names. It's not audible, but you know the sound of it, so you know that's what who they're speaking to. They know my name. They know ABCs by the sound of it, by the song. They know what to do when it happens. So, in the sense of the word, the children know how they don't have very many words. So this scripture in 10 says, your Father knows what you have need of before you ask. So he knows, before we even move, or he sees that we're getting ready to do something, or we need something, he's already interpreted what our actions are, even though we don't know what we're asking for. Romans 8, 26-27 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we don't know the words to say, but the Holy Spirit does. Now, he who searches the hearts know what the mind of the Spirit is. So as Melissa alluded to about the heart, if the heart is turned towards God, then he will speak. He'll know what the mind of the Spirit is towards us, because he makes intercession for the saints, that's us, according to the will of God. It is comforting to know that our Father knows all that we need before we even fix our mouths to ask. I mean, that's good. Yes, that Father swoop in before we can say any kind of audible sound. Before we scream, before we cry, before we shout, before our pain is hurting, before all of that, he intercedes. He swoops in and takes care of his children. So even when we ask, he loves us so much to intercede on our behalf.
Amen. I have Matthew 6:9 for the B part, which is, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And pretty much this summary, what I got out of it was recognizing that Jesus is giving our identity. He starts off by saying, our Father, demonstrating that we should say our Father indicates that we belong to him and that he sees us as sons and daughters, so we should also see each other as brothers and sisters. And then Romans 8:15 says the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. So basically just starting off, Jesus is saying that we receive sonship by his Spirit. And then the part, who are in heaven, is recognizing his position, recognizing that he is far above creation and anything, any created thing, and giving him honor in that position. And that he is the God above everything. And then that last point, hallowed be thy name, is knowing that our Father's name is sanctified, holy, and set apart. So pretty much the whole part of the scripture is just coming into, starting off that prayer and coming into his presence, just knowing who we are and who he is, and giving him that honor, giving him that respect that he deserves when we even come into prayer, that beginning of the prayer.
There is no prayer, and that every prayer in which
earth as it is in heaven. So here we say that you have a choice to do where God wills. In our spirits here on earth, it is not forced upon us. Thy will, not the will of the man, not the will of Satan, not the will of all man, but the will of God. Meaning either his secret will, which is the rule of all, and this is what we should be submitted to patiently and without complaint, or rather his reveal, he will reveal his will to us. The will of God may be said to be done by us when our wills are resigned to his. Only when we patiently submit our hearts and actions in some measure conform to his law, but what is done in faith, with a view to his glory, and without dependence upon it. So those who have a spiritual understanding of the will of God, believe in Christ, receive grace and strength from him, and are assigned by his Spirit. The desire to do the will of God as it is done in heaven, meaning not so much by the creatures, the sun, the moon, and the stars, as glorified saints and holy angels who do his will voluntarily, cheerfully, speedily, and without delay. Matthew 6 and 10, your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
I have given us this day our daily bread, which was Matthew 6:11. In this verse, the writer Matthew has given us insight into the personal relationship that Christ had with the Father. This relationship allowed him to go to the throne of grace boldly, yet humbly, on behalf of all mankind. Jesus was petitioning the Father for provision physically, spiritually, socially, emotionally, and psychologically. This makes up the total man. He is asking the Father for bread that will provide stability in every area of the life of a believer. This is the confidence Jesus had in the Father, that according to Philippians 4:19, and my God will liberally supply, fill unto full, your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
I have Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debts. According to Matthew 6:14, for if your father, if your father forgives others their transgression, I'm sorry, if you forgive others your transgression, your father who is in heaven will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, then your father will not forgive your transgressions. Forgiveness means to dismiss, to let go, to stop blaming or taking offense into an account. It also means, debt means a sum owed, that which we owe, or duty unfulfilled. Debtors means someone under an obligation, the guilty man who must atone for a great sin. In Ephesians 4:31-32, we need God's help to forgive. 1 John 4:20-21, recognize the consequences of not forgiving others. 2 Corinthians 4:16, ask God to forgive sin daily. Matthew 18:26, Jesus teaches us we are to understand sin as a debt we owe. And I just say that number one thing is that we have to forgive. We have to be obedient to God, submit to God, obey his word, and to forgive so that we can be in alignment with the Lord.
Listen to me, I teach you how to really pray. What we come to know is the Lord's Prayer is meant to
charged us, this is to be a perpetual stance. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told his three key leaders, according to Matthew 26:41, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into sin. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus spoke this because he recognized their, as well as our livelihood or temptation, to fall back on what's comfortable, even when it leads away from what's right. James 1:14 tells us, we are led astray or fall into temptation when we feed improper affections, which means that we can do things that aren't beneficial for us. However, we don't have to keep on doing what we've grown accustomed to. We can't shift our tendency. Jesus, being fully God, was simultaneously fully man, which means he had the makings of a sinner. However, Hebrews 4:15 tells us that he exercised his right to deny the fellowship's fulfillment. How did Jesus do this? By eating the Galatians 5:16 challenge, feeding his spirit. If we're Christians, we're perpetually manifesting verse 24. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us the temptation for common mankind doesn't have to be entertained because an escape route has been attached to it. It's God's desire for all of us to build a personal relationship with him. The way to do that is to follow his plan for our lives, to merge our will with his. The kingdom that we, the teaching that we sent under reminds us that to lose our will in God's will is to be in his kingdom. God's kingdom is his way of doing things. When we live our lives in a way that fits into the pattern he laid out for us, heaven will be reflected in the air.
Amen. So one of these things that we can say that this prayer has done for us, that it has positioned us to live a life in step with God's way and God's will. It has also positioned us to know more than he being our friend. We also found him in this prayer as being our father. We found him to be a father willing, ready, and able to feed and protect and deliver us. Did y'all find that in the Lord's Prayer? We also found that on how we should approach God. We should not approach him with a heart that is not cleansed. But he's telling us to come before him humble and meek. This prayer has also taught us that we can depend on God. Amen. It also has positioned our hearts. It also has given our lips words to speak. And it also taught us how we can live. Did you all receive that from the Lord's Prayer? Now, one of the things that I want to share that the prayer also, not only does it open with a praise, acknowledging God, it closes with a praise. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. The prayer gives three declarations. 1, your name be holy. 2, your kingdom come. 3, your will be done. Then it followed by 3 requests. Give me my daily bread. Forgive me of my sins. Keep me from evil. But the prayer closes with this particular scripture. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, many theologians have written that this particular scripture is not what Christ has said. Okay? But according to the research, this is what you call a doxology. Now, you know when you pray and you pour your heart out to God, you have told him all of your pains and your woes. And by the time you get ready to finish that prayer, you know that he has heard you. And you know that he knows your heart. And he will deliver to you what you have asked for. And the only thing that you can do is ascribe to him is what you feel about him. You are amazing. You're awesome. I praise you. You're the only one worthy of my praise. That's a doxology. So according to scripture, it was common for the Jews to end their prayers with a doxology. Oh, you're amazing. You're wonderful. How awesome are you? So this is what this did when one man, a scribe or a monk, according to he read the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, and his response to it was so overwhelming, he wrote in the column on the side of it, thine be the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And some kind of way, it made its way into the scriptures. Now, according to the King James Version and the New King James Version, it's written in there, but through other Bibles, it's not written. But if you want to go through argument, by the time I pour my heart out to God, my doxology is, thine is the kingdom.
Yes.
You are the power. Yes. And you are the glory. So by the time I get through knowing that he's going to fix my situation, I have to give him and attribute all things to him.
Yes.
Now, one of the things I want you all to say, well, these are my A's that we're going to do today. We can't go to the B's, C's, and D's, but we're going to go to the A's today. Say all authority.
All authority.
All ability.
All ability.
All adoration.
All adoration.
Be ascribed.
Described.
And attributed
to
Jesus,
alone.
Let's say that again. All authority.
All
ability.
All
adoration.
Ascribed.
And attributed
to
Jesus,
alone.
Let's say that one more time. All authority.
All
ability.
All
adoration.
Ascribed.
And attributed
to
Jesus.
Alone.
That's my A's today. We're going to talk about thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The doxology is just basically an expression of praise. All authority. Lord, you are all that matters. You are the conclusion of all things. You are the source of all things. Therefore, we accept and acknowledge all authority, all ability, all admiration is due to you alone. Now, one of the things that we're looking at as far as in the beginning, this prayer starts out with praise. And it ends with the same thing it is with praise. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be our name. One, we know who he is. Two, we know where to find him. And then it ends with, thine is the kingdom. One, we know that he has authority. It begins with understanding that who he is and what he would do. All authority, according to Matthew 28:18. This is when the Great Commission, right? But God, in this scripture, God says, all Jesus says, all authority has been given. Okay? Given means God specified and stated the level of his authority. What was the level of his authority? What was the level of his authority? And then in Philippians 2:9, he says, it says God placed all authority under him. Now, if you read that scripture, it says he's given him all authority, and he's also given him a name above all names. So here in Philippians 2:9, it says placed is meaning God put him in the position of having what? So not only did God give it to him, but guess what he did? He placed him there. So what is that telling us? Nobody has this position but God, but Jesus. Because who gave it to him? Amen. So his authority penetrates every realm and influence. And the Greek word for authority is exousia, having the right to rule. Say God, Jesus, God gave his son.
God gave his son.
The right to rule.
The right to rule.
So his kingdom, his set of rules, and he decides the judgment. Who decides the judgment?
Jesus.
Because why? God gave him authority. Say all authority.
All authority.
Thine is the kingdom. He has the right to rule. Amen?
Amen.
Then, all ability means what? Power. Let's look at Ephesians 3:20. Somebody get that for me real quick. Ephesians 3:20. Now, if you look at the word now, what does now mean?
Present.
So anytime you read this scripture, when does now mean? Anytime you read it. So it says, now unto him that is what?
Able.
Okay, so if he was able yesterday when you read it, that means he's able when? Okay, so he says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly. Now he was able to do exceedingly yesterday and still able to do exceedingly when?
Today.
What does exceedingly mean? It means an unusual degree or measure. How many of you all have a problem right now? You need God's unusual degree or measure on right now. He's able to do exceedingly. Then it says what?
Abundantly.
Abundantly. You need all that he has. And abundantly is more than we deserve. And he says, he is right now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we deserve. But then it says, it's above. Imagine what he's able to do above what you can ask or think. Ask what right now, and he can say, I'm able to do above what you're asking me to do. Pay my bill. He's able to do more than that. He's able because of what he has the ability. Because he was not only assigned the authority, he was also has the ability to do. How many of you know God is able? You tried for that? And you know that he's able. Then he says, above and beyond means what? It's the past in your understanding. So how many of you all know God can do some awestruck stuff? And leave you just wonder how much he really loves you. You just like, oh, how he really loves me. So here, the Greek word for power is dunamis. Power. The ability to do. Say, God.
God.
Assign Jesus.
Assign
Jesus. Dunamis power.
Dunamis power.
The ability to do.
Exceedingly.
Abundantly.
Above.
What you can ask or think. He has power to do that. That's my second A. All ability. Then he has what? All?
Adoration.
He has all what?
Adoration.
How? Praise God for it right now. Say it. Say, God, I thank you.
God, I thank you.
Come on. Praise him for what he has done for you this week. Come on. All adoration get to him.
Yes.
God, you get all glory. You get all the honor. Everything that I have.
Everything you have, all adoration, Mama. Come on, give him praise right now. These lights for you. Give him praise, Angie.
Lord, I just thank you for the love that you bestowed upon us this day.
Hey, give him praise, Mama. Come on.
Forgive me.
Forgive you. Come on, Barbara. Give him all. Adam, adore him right now.
Father, thank you. We did not wake ourselves up today. Father, I thank you that we could not even have what we need for our lives, our souls, our ability without you. So we thank you and we praise you.
Come on, somebody else give him praise. Shantrix, come on. Adore him right now.
Gracious God, I thank you for being my sanity, for being my best, for being my strength, for being my provider, for the one who's always there.
Hey, Audrey, come on. I know you gotta give him praise. Come on, adore him.
I don't know, but I deserve it, but I accept it.
Yes, oh God.
I accept
yes,
it.
Oh God. Yes, oh God. Yes, oh God.
Thank you for His love and His understanding and the peace that He brings to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, bless it. Oh, bless it. Oh, bless it. We adore. And you know, we're not talking about anybody else but one God, one Jesus. Yeah. Nobody else has been given this authority right here that we adore. How many do we adore, Sherry? Why? Why do we adore it? Because we love Him. Why do we adore Him? Why do we adore Him? He's just that good. Teresa, why do we adore Him? Unconditional. Angie, tell me about it. Why do we adore Him? It's not like it. Somebody give me a break. That's why we adore Him. Everything, according to 1 Chronicles 29:11, this is a prayer that David is praying. Now, many theologians also write that this "for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory" was pulled from that scripture also. So everybody flip to 1 Chronicles 29:11-13. Angie, you get it, and I want you to stand and read that for me, please. 1 Chronicles 29 is on your paper, but I'd like for you to find it in your scriptures too.
Okay, you said 1 Chronicles
29. Read 10 through 13.
So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in heaven and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might. And it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name."
We give you thanks, David, is declaring that He is the greatness.
Yes.
He is the greatness. This is, He says, you are in your hand strength and power to exalt and give strength from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power. In your hands. We do adore God because He holds it. And this adore is from a Greek word called kabod. And it means to heavy or heavy, to be heavy or weighty. This gives us a proper opinion on who the Lord is. His beauty, His brilliance, and His radiance. His glory. His love. How many of you all know that this morning when you woke up, did you all see the glory of God anywhere around your life?
Yes.
The Bible says that the heavens and the earth, the sky declare His glory. So if you came to church and you didn't see His glory, you weren't looking for it. It said at night after night it declares it. So we are looking at the glory of God. So one, we got three A's so far. The all authority. All ability and all admiration. And my last two A's are ascribe and attribute. Okay? Now, one of the things that I'm looking at for ascribe, it refers to a cause or source or author. To say or think that something is caused by, comes from, or associated with a particular person or thing. We ascribe peaks from our knowledge and our knowing, our understanding of who will bless us, who will give to us our daily bread, who will forgive us, who will deliver us from the evil one, who will do that, who will do that. So we ascribe the knowledge and the knowing of who will deliver us to. So ascribe means that, so in the beginning, when you're looking at, when you're going through a problem, and you're wondering who will deliver you, you've got to ascribe your deliverance to the Lord, because He will do it. Your understanding and your knowing of Him because it comes from what you know about him, what you have heard about him, and what you feel about him. Ascribe understanding that I ascribe that if I need to eat, I know who I can go get it from.
Amen.
If I need to be healed, I have knowledge of who will heal me. If I need to be delivered, I have knowledge of who will do that. So all of this I ascribe to the Lord. That comes from my knowledge of him. Now, attribute means it comes from my experience. That after I have known who will do it, then I come through the problem. Okay? I'm coming through the problem, so I'm on the attribute my deliverance that I have been delivered. I'm going to attribute this to the Lord. I had knowledge and I ascribed that he will do it, but now I have had the experience that he did. So now I'm going to attribute that he did do this. I'm going to attribute that to the Lord too. If I needed a way made, who did? If I needed to eat, he did this thing. So I'm going to attribute this to the Lord. So it is the fact we give attribute from our experience of the result of our deliverance. Who did this? Who gave me daily bread? Who protected me from the evil one? Who has forgiven me of my sins? I owe all this praise to God.
Amen.
Because, so we're looking at our five A's today. It's what? All authority. All ability. All admiration. Ascribe and attribute to Jesus alone. So here it is. We come to a part to where he not only has authority. He not only has ability and power. He not only has all glory is due to him. That is not only, but he'll have it forever. It's never ending. This forever is a never ending state or condition. He will be in rulership forever. He'll have power forever. He will be in the glorified position. Guess when?
Forever.
That is his state right now. He will always be the one that we go to. Because we know that he has the power to do what we're asking him to do. God has the ability to deliver and set free. Always. No matter what situation that we go in or come out of, it is him that's going to be doing the delivery. Okay, suppose I go have a problem. Even if I run to Barbara, she can't deliver me. Even if I run to Angie, she can't deliver me. But I know one thing, who can? Because his state of being is always going to be forever. Amen? He's always going to be in a place to where whatever I have need of, he's going to be in the place of being my father. Guess how long he's going to be my father?
Forever.
Guess how? Okay, then his name is going to be hollow. And guess how long it's going to be hollow?
Forever.
When he said the kingdom come, we're always going to be looking for his kingdom to come. And his will be done. But we're going to be looking for this. He's going to hold authority over that. Guess how long he's going to hold it?
Forever.
He's going to hold it forever. And if we need somebody to give us this day our daily bread, we can always go to him to ask him for our daily bread. And guess how long we can go to him?
Yeah.
We can go to forever. And then you know what? If the evil one is after you, if the devil is on your trail, who can you go to?
Lord, Lord.
And how long can you go to him?
Forever.
Thank you, God. So when you're looking at the fact who he is, he'll be who he is and he'll be it for.
Forever.
That's who he'll be. Thine is the kingdom. You have authority. You have the power. Thine is the power. You have the ability to do above what I can ask or think. Thine be the glory. You are awesome. You are beautiful to my eyes. The scripture in Proverbs said you're just marvelous. And it's marvelous in my eyesight. That's how beautiful he is. So when you're thinking of anything about this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, it taught us how we can approach God. It taught us how we can get to his heart, and then it taught us who he was. Because let me tell you something, one thing about God that I know, any way I need made, I know who has the ability and the power to get it done. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. So one of the things that we're going to conclude our prayer today, and I thank God for the road that we've traveled, where we have done this walk through precepts, understanding. understanding this thing line by line, understanding how to go to God, how to take His scripture, how to walk through His word, and see Him deeper than what we've seen Him. If you go through the word of God and you walk through that slowly, don't do no race car driving through the word anymore. Find out what He wants for you, word by word, line by line, and you'll understand what He is saying to you. So what I've done is one of these, we had prayed earlier that we paint this picture. And what I did was I got another scripture that is Hebrews 10:19-25. And this gives you the breakdown of exactly what precepts is. Okay? It gives you a complete breakdown. It gives you the observation. Precepts is three things. One, observation, interpretation, and application. Today we try to do the application of what we've been through. We did the observation and the interpretation. And now today we try to help you apply what we have been learning. Amen? So what I did was print you off the scripture, and it's by this guy named Richard, I can't say his last name, but it gives you the complete breakdown of how precepts is supposed to be. It gives you the observation of the scripture. Then in the middle, it gives you the word study, the interpretation of the scripture. Then at the end, it gives you application. Okay? And then after that, I invite you to write a prayer for what you have learned. Amen? So, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And He'll be that how long?
Forever.
He'll be that how long?
Forever.
He'll be that how long? And the thing that we have to understand, even though this scripture was not written in all of the versions of the Bible, is an awesome doxology. And once we have learned that He is our Father, and that He will deliver us, He will feed us, we got to conclude with one word. And what is that one word?
Amen.
Amen. We just got to conclude with it. We got to conclude with it because we got to agree, Barbara. We got to agree that this is what He will do. He has done. We got to agree that. And amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The conclusion of our expression of assured expectancy and confidence of the one only wise God. Not merely be it so, but confident expression of assurance that it will be so. It is so, and we agree. We agree that you have provided. We agree you hold all power. We conclude and agree you are the kingdom, the ruler and reign over all the earth. We agree that if there is any praise, it all goes to you, the only true and wise God. We do agree and we say amen.
Before Bible prayer, we just want to thank you all for this journey with the precepts. And you're all just standing, getting ready to pray this thing out. Amen. All of us say
amen.
We all conclude and we agree that God is our Father. Pray for us, Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Father God, we cannot fathom or receive the totality of who you are. As we receive these promises in your word, Father, we receive with joy and thanksgiving. We thank you that Jesus shows us our need for you. Jesus shows us your love is unspoiled, without mar or blemish. Jesus shows us that when uninterrupted, your word permeates and rules in the earth, as it is said in heaven also. Thank you, Lord, for leading us to overcome our corrupting first birth sin nature. Through you, we receive a new, born again way to live as evidence in this prayer. Jesus prayed often, and in this, he shows us the life he is purchasing for us, the liberty and freedom to live without lack, to live without trespasses, being imputed to us as sin. And knowing your goodness covers us. Lord, you are more than all knowledge. We can only know you by the Son who knows you. He reveals you by these acts and the Holy Spirit that no longer descends but now indwells. This prayer, Lord, shows us you, that you can and will move.
Yes, sir.
We thank you for the power to choose life and blessing In this prayer, Lord Jesus, let us know we are not bound by need, no longer limited by experience, and not made afraid of future evils. We thank you for this revelation of a right heart, a right mind, and a right attitude. We thank you that your special kind of love reflects your beauty to be manifested in us. Your special kind of love that reflects your kingdom to be manifested in us. Your special kind of love to be experienced in this prayer reflects your protection and perfection and holiness to be in us. Jesus is teaching that you are the climate and environmental air we breathe as we follow these simple truths. You are our preparation for the new heaven and the new earth.
Yes, oh God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you,
Jesus.
We were and still are and shall always be able to cause creation to produce all that we need by saying what you say. Forgive our polluting air and water and land. Forgive us causing the extinction of land, sea, and air animals. Thank you for allowing us to be able to see the restoration of life as you intended. Thank you, Father, that you have forgiven the destructive nature that is leading towards the destruction of the earth. We challenge the sin nature in ourselves. Thank you, Daddy, for Jesus showing us that praise is a weapon that can cause a reproduction of life in the earth as it is in heaven. We are grateful and say amen. Amen and amen. We say amen to your intent. We say amen to your expectation for life. We say amen to open eyes that pursue love, compassion, and kindness to avoid the temptations of the flesh. We say amen, amen, and amen. We understand the cost of this amen. We understand that we don't just talk this prayer, but amen, Lord, amen, amen. And we purpose to walk it out in our lives. Amen, amen, and amen, amen. And see the Father praise and calmly think of this.
Amen. And everybody said,
amen.